Reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 44. Starting at verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, to a town in Galilee. On the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed of a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "and come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." The news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of illness. Laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen.
I don't know what an ordinary day is like for you, but most of mine are just like that. Ordinary. I don't mean they're boring necessarily, just that the things I do are normal for my life. They're very rarely things that are extraordinary that come along. I don't win an Olympic gold medal. I don't record a number one album. I don't win a Nobel Prize. Nothing like that tends to happen in my life. I do the ordinary things that other people do, and I quite enjoy them. They are my ordinary days where I try to follow Jesus the best I can. Our reading from Luke's Gospel this morning is Luke's account of an ordinary day for Jesus. Except an ordinary day for Jesus would be an extraordinary day for anyone else. So let's have a closer look at Jesus' ordinary day in Capernaum and see what it might reveal to us about how we can live our ordinary days with Jesus. After setting his agenda for ministry during his sermon in Nazareth, Luke then gives his readers an insight into how Jesus lived out these words. Because what we have in our reading today could be called 24 hours with Jesus in Capernaum. Luke is giving us here a vivid snapshot as to the kind of activities that accompany Jesus' ministry in his adopted hometown. Jesus' regular base at this time was the fishing town of Capernaum, on the northern shore of Lake Galilee. And Jesus' teaching became well known in Capernaum. People were amazed because his words had authority. And he, as he was in Nazareth, was invited to speak at the synagogue on the Sabbath. However, as is the case sometimes in services of worship, the pastoral need of one of the congregation became the priority over preaching the sermon. A man who is possessed by a demon, what Luke refers to as an impure spirit, is present. Those possessed by demons are commonly mentioned in the Gospels and other ancient literature, and they were an understood part of life in the ancient world. Here we see the demon, rather than the man who is possessed, cry out to Jesus, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demon, in saying us, is speaking on behalf of all demons, recognizing that they are all under threat from the coming of Jesus. And here we see that, unlike blinkered humanity, the forces of evil can clearly see who Jesus is, the Holy One, the one who has come to counter the unholy. And Jesus does exactly that with words of authority. He commands the demon to be quiet and leave this unfortunate man. And in an instant, that's what happens. And with the shock of the demon leaving, the man is thrown to the floor, but he's unhurt, according to Luke, the doctor. The congregation who had come to hear Jesus' words of authority when he preached instead witness the spiritual authority of Jesus over demons. And they're left asking themselves, who is this man? And unsurprisingly, the news of Jesus builds and spreads. From the public spectacle of the synagogue service, Luke shifts the scene to the more intimate and private setting of Simon's home. We've not yet been introduced to Simon. He's not yet been called from to leave his fishing nets to follow Jesus. But Jesus seemingly knows him already and his family. It's even thought that Jesus might be living in Simon's home. And here in this homely setting, we find Simon's mother-in-law suffering from a high fever, which without modern medicine could have been fatal. The family, though, trust in Jesus and so ask him to help her. And in a similar way to which he dealt with the demon, and in a way that Jesus does not repeat in dealing with physical illness on other recorded occasions, Jesus rebukes the fever and it left her. Was this just Jesus doing things different, or was the demonic the cause? We don't know. But what really matters is the woman is healed. And to show she is fully healed, Luke notes that she goes straight back to her role of hospitality in the home by serving Jesus straight away. The Sabbath day has gone on, and at sunset the Sabbath comes to an end for Jews, and with its end come the crowds of people to be healed. In Mark's account of the same incident, he writes that the whole town gathered at the door. In the midst of the pressing crowd, for the first time in Luke's Gospel, we see Jesus' endless compassion come to the fore. Because it says he laid his hands on each one who came. Jesus could have stood there in the doorway and done a blanket prayer over everyone and produced the same end result. But Jesus' way is the personal way, even if it means it takes time. So he heals all, one person at a time. All Jesus' authority is grounded in his compassion and love. As he heals, some people are released from demons that have possessed them. And as in the synagogue, the demons recognize Jesus for who he really is. But Jesus knows it is not yet time for his true identity to be fully revealed, and so he silences them. It seems that the healings went on all night. And at daybreak, the chaos of the crowd subsides and Jesus retreats to the wilderness, which is what the phrase a solitary place means. But he is pursued into the wilderness. The people of Capernaum have not finished with him. They want to keep him tied down, hold an exclusive claim on his teaching and miracles. But Jesus doesn't want to be caged. He wants to be freed. Capernaum may want special rights to him, but that's not going to happen because Jesus' mission is for more than them alone. And the good news of the kingdom of God needs to be preached in other places. And that's why Jesus was sent. And on this note, the ordinary but extraordinary day with Jesus, as recorded by Luke, comes to a close. For us, this kind of day would have been far from ordinary. But for Jesus, this was the kind of ordinary day that characterized his ministry in differing degrees. Healings, exorcisms, teaching, time with God, time with his disciples, public and private ministry. And that's why I think Luke puts this account at an early point in his gospel. He wants his readers to have an insight into what Jesus' days were like. And then as we go in through the gospel, Luke then just highlights particular incidences that were part of other ordinary days. On this day, Jesus was going for about 24 hours straight. He was on the go from the Sabbath service one morning right through the day and night to the next morning, which I think was the unusual aspect of this ordinary day. Jesus was as human as you and I. He needed to sleep and rest. And in this way, it was an exceptional ordinary day. As we continue to look at Luke's gospel, we will reflect on Jesus' healing and exorcism. But as we look at this passage today, there is something else I'd like us to spend a few minutes thinking about. And that something else that comes across in this passage comes across most clearly perhaps in verse 40, where it says, "At sunset the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of illness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them." What this verse and this passage as a whole shows is the personal concern of Jesus. The way of Jesus was the personal way. He comes and ministers to people as individual people. He relates. He holds hands, lays hands on people, speaks individual words. His heart goes out. He shows compassion. Jesus didn't have a scattergun approach to ministry in the miraculous. His was the personal approach. He didn't stand at the front and say, "Everyone with leprosy, now you are healed. And everyone possessed by demons, you're free." He came alongside people one at a time and ministered to them. Even though it wasn't the most effective use of his time, even though it wasn't the most effective use of his energy, even though this cost him, even though this was the way of sacrifice, this was how he did things. Why? Because this was the way of love. And the way of love is the ordinary way of Jesus. Jesus was not just a miracle worker. Jesus did not become God incarnate to heal people, just to heal people of their diseases. He did not become the Word made flesh just to drive out all demons, however worthy goals these might have been. No, Jesus came to show God's love to the world. A love that is personal and real. A love that looks people in the eyes and says, "I am here with you." A love that is relational, a love that affects our ordinary lives. Now, being invited to preach in the synagogue at Capernaum was a big deal, and I'm sure Jesus would have wanted to make most of the opportunity to do what he says later on in our reading, proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God.
But it seems Jesus never got the chance because the man who was possessed by a demon came. However, instead of pressing on with his sermon regardless, Jesus makes this man and his need a priority over sharing the words of his sermon. He takes time to bring the reality of the good news to this one life, instead of sharing words of good news with the many that morning. In evangelical churches, the sermon has a central place. I'm not sure how well we would have coped with someone disturbing the peace during a service like this. Probably we would have shunted them off to a side room. How would I react, having spent a good number of hours in a week preparing a sermon, to have someone come in obvious need to a service and disturbing things? Where should my priority lie? Where would you expect my priority to lie? There's a question. We've seen what Jesus would do. Then there's Jesus, having got back to where he was likely living after the service at the synagogue. I know when I get home after a Sunday service, all I want to do is lie down in a darkened room. But here he is, with people waiting expectantly for him to heal someone. And he does. He comes close, speaks words of rebuke, which effectively heal this woman. And still his day is not finished, because as soon as sunset comes, everyone can start going about their business again. And their business this evening is bringing people to Jesus for him to heal them. Jesus, though, doesn't pull the curtains and say, "Go away, it's my day off." No, he meets these people in their need, lays hands on them, shows them the personal touch. He sacrificially gives of himself again and again and again, all through the night. Jesus' ministry is a ministry of sacrifice, even before he gets to the cross. He takes up his cross day by day as he ministers to people, giving in love one person at a time. Jesus is endless compassion. The ordinary way of Jesus is love. An ordinary day like that of Jesus probably makes us feel tired just thinking about it. I know I would have been tired and grumpy even before all those people turned up expecting to be healed. For us trying to follow the way of Jesus, I don't think it means following him like we're some sort of Holy Spirit-filled Duracell bunny that keeps on going and going in ministry for 24 hours at a time. We all have our own bodily limits and capacity. Now, what I think we can learn as we seek to minister in the way of Jesus in our lives is that we should seek to minister in the way of love. The way of love that should become our ordinary way of living as followers of Jesus. Loving others first, second, third. I posed that question a few moments ago about someone coming in need and disturbing the service, and what would we do? The answer should be obvious. We minister to their needs first, because we know that's what Jesus would have done. That would be a demonstration of love that is sacrificial. Love that puts the needs of others first. Love in the ordinary way of Jesus. There are verses all over the Old and New Testaments about how love should be the defining characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. From Micah, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." From Proverbs 3, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." "Love each other as I've loved you," from John's letter, "Since God loved us, so we ought to love one another." From Paul's letters, "The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." And then simply, in the letters to the Corinthians, "Do everything in love." This is the call of Scripture to us, and it should not be a surprise as followers of Jesus. It should not be a surprise that love should be our defining characteristic. But it doesn't mean we don't struggle to put it into practice. Maybe not the first time, but probably trying to do it time and time and time again will prove difficult. Yet this is what Jesus did, and this is what Jesus calls his disciples to do. We're not just called to do one loving thing per day and that's it, tick it off our list and we can go on and be grumpy for the rest of the day. The ordinary way of Jesus is something that can and should become normative in our lives. Through God's Spirit working in our lives, the way of love, the way of Jesus can become more and more our way of life. It will not come all at once, but the more we submit to God, the more we will see love evidenced in our life. It will be a sacrifice because it will cost, and it should cost. It will cost our time, our energy, our emotions, but it's a cost that is the cost of love. Putting others first rewires us to look up from our own lives and view the world with eyes of compassion. The needs of others may be material, they may be physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual. Whatever their needs are, we can show love to them by doing as Jesus did. We come alongside one person at a time saying, "I am here with you." We spend time, build a relationship, we offer to pray with them. We always ask, if they are willing, for God to bring healing to their lives. It's always at their pace, but we make an offer. We'll often be surprised by the answer they give. I think I've said before that one of my favourite phrases from the Gospels is, "His heart went out in compassion to them." And that's a phrase I pray that God's church will become ever better at embodying as Christ's presence in the world. God in Jesus came alongside us in love at some point in our lives. And we should ask who God is calling us to come alongside in the name of love. Living the ordinary way of Jesus is our humble calling of sacrificial love. It's a simple calling. We may not get accolades or recognition, but it will one day mean that we are welcomed with the words, "My good and faithful servant." And that's perhaps all that we can really hope for. So may we all seek to take further steps along the way of Jesus in the week ahead, showing love to all we meet. Amen.